Gentlemen, welcome to Dynamo's Half Dozen, where I am joined by my co-host, Ian the Dynamo Kelly, and his co-host from the ASI podcast, Darmar. How you doing, boys?
Very good, thanks.
Good. This week, we're going to have an old chit-chat about the upcoming Premier League season, the return. We haven't had much of a break from it, but that's the way I like it. I'd rather it never ended.
I said it's the one upside to all this stuff that's been going on this year. At least 2020 has been kind to us in some way. It means we don't have a big, massive, long off season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look, it's funny that you mentioned that there. Like with me and Dara, obviously doing the ASI podcast as well. And Dara, cheap plug time.
Yeah, always there for the cheap plugs. ASI podcast every week. There we go, talking about American sports. Yeah. So we have that keeping us busy anyway, thankfully. But you know, this is the bread and butter now, is the football.
Well, that's so. It. And I think obviously with the American sport, Ted, you're a big you're a basketball fan and you're a hockey fan as well. And we have these bubbles, and the bubbles are starting obviously to come to an end, and we're starting to get to
Basketball's been a bit shit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of been a bit dodgy. I think it's more so the political fact and all the stories around that have made it shit. But I think the actual quality of the basketball itself has been quite amazing, actually, to be fair.
Well, the quality's fine, but like just delays.
Yeah, all the stories around it have been pretty shit. But it's starting to.
It's shaping up, isn't it?
A little bit. Obviously, we're getting towards the tail end of the playoffs. So this is where all the good stuff happens.
It is actually where the magic happens. Yeah, that's true. Not the Orlando Magic, before.
Not the Orlando Magic,
no.
Can
you? Yeah, no. I thought I'd get in there before anybody else did. it's kind of cool though, because like I said, the hockey is reaching a point now where. Even during the bubble, we're starting to see trades happen. You know, people are talking about, for example, my Flames are kind of, people are talking about whether, you know, Brad Treliving, which is the general manager, whether he gets rid of Johnny Gaudreau. And then obviously now his job is also in threat, which is the general manager of Calgary. So he's got to really decide whether Johnny Gaudreau goes right now with 2 years left on his contract, or you let that contract run out for free. Personally, I'm saying trade that motherfucker and try and make amends and free up some cap space. It's amazing. That's the great thing about the sports. I'm just using that as an example. It's a great thing about the American sports at the moment. We've got the NFL coming back, which we previewed obviously on the ASI podcast this week. Dara gave an absolutely amazing run through on the teams from, it was the East and the West this week, and next week we have the North and South, am I correct there?
Yeah. In the NFC. We've already covered the AFC, North, South, East and West, so that's in previous podcasts, if anyone wants to go and take a listen back and listen to our previews, our five-word prediction game as well for each team.
Yeah, and so that's the great thing, and that's kind of what leads us on now, because obviously over here in Europa, we have our football, and it's now back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Yeah. Well, not for me, but
it's a Saturday week. Yeah,
Saturday
it's
week.
Not back in.
Saturday yeah, week, but yeah, not Saturday. For us, Dara. We have another week.
We have another week to wait for Man United to start all over again.
So Man United play the week after. I don't know why Man United are getting an extra week's break.
United and City get an extra week because they went further in Europe than all the other teams.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
No, it wasn't any sort of special treatment there, Ian. It's just the rules. That's it.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, but the rules tend to go out the window during the season, though, don't they, when it comes to these games? But look, I digress. Let's actually start with Man United, because that's kind of why we're here. Obviously, we are 2 weeks into the season. This is obviously a Premier League season, Premier League start of a season like no other in the history, like everything else, due to the China virus and the COVID-19. And it has literally upended the world in the sense that there is no summer transfer window. It feels like only a couple of weeks ago that we had football. And In 2 weeks, we're going to have more football. So there's a month of a window. Some teams have been busy. Some teams have not been busy. We'll get to both. We'll get to all the teams that have and haven't. Then, of course, the media, you know, and we will use your one for this, Dara, to be fair, the populist media, especially the sports populist media, just want to run the story of possibly City signing possibly the greatest player of all time in Lionel Messi.
No, there was a U-turn in that tonight. Supposedly he's staying. Oh,
hit me with that.
Yeah, supposedly the rumours are... Actually, Ted, yeah, you go ahead. You have the latest there on that.
Yeah, so he's... The only reason that it was looking like he was going to be moving anywhere was because he had a clause in his contract that said he could leave at the end of any season and just terminate his contract.
Could potentially be a free transfer, right?
He would be a free transfer. Sure. But That isn't the case. You know, Messi is still arguing that it should be. So it's going to the courts to be looked at whether Barcelona have to let him out of his contract or if he has to stay there. If he has to stay there, it's a 700 million, I think it is.
That's the buyout clause, yeah.
Buy him out of his contract, which means he's not going anywhere because no team is paying 700 million for him. No. And then his wages. No one can afford that.
Can I just say one thing, lads? And I'm just going to ask this question to both of you, actually. What a sour end to a relationship, because if it's a case that Messi wants out of there and he's willing to actually even think about going to court because he doesn't want to play for that team anymore, what the hell?
Yeah, well, look, it's sort of that thing, isn't it? Loyalty in football is dead, and we've been saying that for years now, sort of. There's no one club man, sort of, anymore.
And that
they've
worked
gone
two ways, though, as well. Like, I mean, It seems like Barcelona have told a lot of kind of lies and fibs to Messi as well. I mean, he was always a loyal player. Like, I mean, listen, Messi's done more for Barcelona than Barcelona have done for Messi in the last year. In that sense,
well, I'd say last couple of years, because
the
sort of players that have been brought into the club have been nowhere near up to the standards that obviously Messi has and he expects. So, obviously the Coutinho deal, the Griezmann deal, the Dembele deal, like all these players going for massive sums of money, and you know they can't cut it at Barcelona for one reason or another.
Yeah, and see, that's the problem. Messi, like, they're good signings on paper, but they're not working out. And the amount of money that they've put into these signings means that other areas are lacklustre. Like, Barcelona's defence, not great.
Yeah,
Barcelona's midfield.
They still rely on Gerard Piqué. So,
The only thing Piqué is defending at the moment is his fine-ass wife, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, like, you lost your midfield players and never replaced them. You bought more attacking midfielders, but you didn't get anyone to dictate the game. Now they went out and got De Jong, which was a good buy, but that's too little, too late. Like, Messi's had to drag them kicking and screaming as far as he can every year.
And a point I would make as well about Barcelona, which I'm sure you guys would agree with, is that, like, they've signed the likes of Dembele. I think they signed Dembele from Borussia Dortmund for about 90, close to 90 million.
Yeah, massive money.
They've signed the other signings that you mentioned there, Dara. I can't remember to name.
Griezmann, Coutinho.
Griezmann was about 90 million too. They paid the release clause, I think, for him. Yeah. And it seems
he actually worked out nearly 200, I think it was, because of... Well, sorry, not 200, 150 because of legal fees.
Yeah, and it seems like
them.
But it seems like they're willing to get rid of these players willy-nilly because they didn't work in the first year. I think Barcelona have a bit of Liverpool syndrome in them. Shout out to all our Liverpool fans. They seem to have this kind of a God-given right that things just are meant to go right for them ASAP. And if it doesn't, then they kind of shoot them out the door. Don't want to spend too much on Barcelona, but like I know, Dari, you have a lot of respect for Barcelona I know you're not necessarily a Barcelona fan as such. You're not a season ticket holder, but that would be your team in Spain, whereas mine would be Real Madrid. But I think both teams, and that goes for Real Madrid too. Real Madrid are kind of snookered as well. They don't have money to spend.
And neither of them do. That's the problem. They've made these big signings, and now they're fucked. Like, they can't do anything.
Yeah,
they can't sell their players because
last year the Eden Hazard deal, I think, crippled Real Madrid, didn't it, with the 100 million? And I think he only featured for them maybe twice.
Yeah, broken ankle and stuff as well. So like he was no use to him. Well, he's coming kind of the end of the season, but
bit of excess weight as well probably didn't help the
help.
But we'll I think what we'll do actually, just before we get into the Premier League, this is a good idea. We kind of look at it and say, right, so we can see that Inter Milan obviously are starting to kind of be ambitious and try and make signings. They've obviously extended the contract of Antonio Conte when a lot of people didn't think that was going to happen. I only give that relationship another year also. I don't think Antonio Conte, I don't think, can have a relationship with himself in the mirror for more than a year without it becoming futile. It seems that way anyway, doesn't it? It's kind of crazy. And then obviously we've got Zlatan gone back to AC Milan.
You're coming over here to play now in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then of course we've got the German clubs, which, I mean, Germany seems to be the strong European league once again. To be fair.
Yeah, they were quite dominant, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be like players that come from Germany seem to be the ones that mesh well in the Premier League. But also, they're usually strong boys anyway, the Germans, you know. They don't really get pushed about, and they're used to that kind of hard-hitting kind of style of league. And I think the Bundesliga has always been the kind of league that players come from to the Premier League and tend to do well, which kind of leads us on to Man United, which we'll start with. But guys, I'm going to throw this out there just for both of you as Man United fans. Obviously, the big news, the big summer story, I guess, what should have been, was obviously the services of Jadon Sancho, because Jadon Sancho obviously was, you know, before COVID-19 hit, was courted by the likes of Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, even Barcelona and Real Madrid, as we mentioned, Bayern Munich. And it seemed like there recently enough that Manchester United were going to be the favourites to sign him. And then, of course, Borussia Dortmund director of football came out and said, look, he's not for sale now. It sounded like, when I read the statement back, it sounded like a statement of frustration, as if to say, you know what, fuck you guys, that's it, he's not for sale this year, we're moving on, so should you. As Man United fans, because I'm sensing a lot of frustration around Twitter and social media as well. You know, we had a lot of these proud fans, we didn't want them anyway, but you'll always get that. You know, everyone knows people wanted Jadon Sancho, me included, as a Chelsea Football Club fan. I'll hold my hands up and say, yeah, I absolutely did. You know, because you got to, at the end of the day, when you're having real conversations, you got to really call it like it is. And I think the Jadon Sancho deal, Darren, why don't you start with that?
Well, there's a few points that you made there, and obviously there's a few bits to talk about. But
yeah, absolutely.
Like, in terms of like the frustration with fans, I think it wasn't just the Sancho deal that frustrated fans. I think it was the fact that there was no deal in general being done. And especially like we saw with your Chelsea side, Ian, They had signed a few players. Arsenal had signed a player. City had signed some players. Spurs had been going after players. So teams around United were buying players, and they were, and United weren't. And I think that's where the frustration from fans was coming from. Yeah, and I think that with the Sancho deal, I wouldn't necessarily say it's dead in the water yet. The window's open till October. I still think there's time to for him to join the club. I would have liked it to have happened before the season starts, so we could get ready and start from the word go. But look, it's a difficult one. I don't know. Like Ted, what do you think about the whole United movement so far, or lack of movements, obviously, apart from the one signing?
Yeah, you see, well, I think the problem is that we, as a club, United focus. They're very focused on the player they're signing, but they're too focused. Like, up until kind of 2 weeks ago, we were signing Sancho, but that was the only signing I'd heard anything about. You obviously hear all these, oh, they're going to sign Messi, but like, you know, I wasn't believing we were signing Messi until he was in a United jersey. But
yeah. Like, even at that, I was never going to believe United were going to sign Messi, because if they were haggling over the price, they were haggling over the price of, like, the likes of Sancho and stuff. There was no way they were ever going to afford Messi.
Well, Messi would have been on the free. See, that would have been a thing. So that's why I was like, well, maybe.
Well,
wouldn't
have been able to afford his wages. They tried so hard to get rid of Sanchez's wages off the wage bill, which they had finally done.
Yeah,
it would have been
God.
Quite stupid if they had put another big wage on their wage bill for a player who, let's be real, I don't know if you guys think the same way, but I think when people talk about Lionel Messi, they talk about Lionel Messi 4 years ago, when he still had the pace as well. I think this is a different Messi, and this is not the Messi that people think of. And I wouldn't think he would be able to fare too well, or to be able to take over a Premier League like some people think.
I don't think he'd be able to take over the Premier League. Other leagues he might be able to do better in, but the Premier League he would have struggled. But United's, like, we are fixated on getting Sancho in, and that's the problem. We're fixated on a player.
Do you think, Ted, actually, that's a fair point, actually. Sorry, if you don't mind me chiming in, and obviously you can digress, and I digress, and you can kind of chime in and kind of give more kind of weight to put some meat on the bones, let's say. I've noticed on Twitter there seems to be, like, always a little bit of a meltdown when it comes to the Man United situation, in the sense of, like, if there's no, you know, for example, like, Fabrizio Romano is the guy, you know what I mean? He's the guy that, once he says it's done, it's ironclad. And
the here we go. That's what
here we go, exactly, yeah. But I've noticed some United fans, and there's also like infighting within the United camp when it comes to fanfare as well, because, you know, the deal's not done yet. And I think everybody in United has this, and this is something for you two guys to discuss, because you'll know more than me. There seems to be a thing that, like, oh, well, look, we have the money, but I've been hearing this for the last 4 years from Man United fans. We have the money, so we can sign who we want. But it's like, right, well, isn't it time that whoever is in charge of United then puts their money where their mouth is? Because Jadon Sancho was there to be bought. He was there to be bought. I think, obviously, Donny van Beek is there now. I didn't really think central midfield was United's problem area, personally. I would have thought defense. Just me as an outside view, which is fair, I think, because I do watch a lot of football and I watch United playing other teams too. I would have thought defense was their problem area, and spending big money for, like, a, you know, whatever name defender you want to throw at me, would have been a good show. But it seems to me like Ed Woodward seems to really be the problem for me, and for a lot of Man United fans. Now, I have no problem with Ed Woodward because he's not my director of football. So I just thought I'd throw that out and see what you guys think on that.
Yeah, Woodward, he's a strange one, because for what Woodward is good at, He's the best, the very best.
Which is what?
Getting advertisers in. Like, most stadiums have had to sell, or most teams have had to sell their stadium name, so they're now called something different. Whereas United have never had to deviate from being Old Trafford. And that is down to Woodward, because he's very, very good at that part of the business. But he's not a footballer. He doesn't have a footballer's brain. So when he's told to sign a player, that's what he goes to do. He goes to sign the player. But he's a businessman, so he doesn't want to just pay whatever he's asked for. He feels that he can kind of manipulate the situation a bit. And that's not always the case. And that's because United focus in on one target the whole time. Like when we were going to sign Bruno Fernandes, who else was being talked about? Nobody. It was just Bruno. So if you're Sporting Lisbon, well, they're not going to sign anybody else. So the only person they're signing is him. We're not going to play ball. We'll just tell them a price and they'll pay it. Same when we went to sign Maguire from Leicester. They agreed to a price, realised we weren't going to go near anyone else, hiked the price up. And that's the same thing that's happening with Sancho.
That was a mistake anyway, wasn't it?
It was a mistake, but well, I said from the start that we should just, that Maguire was always just an expensive Shane Duffy, and that's the truth. We should just sign Shane Duffy and been done with it.
That's being a little rude to Shane Duffy.
I'm not saying he's better than Shane Duffy, he's just an expensive one, you know. Like
at least Shane Duffy gets up for corners and scores goals.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. He's an expensive one though. Like he's not better, he's just more expensive. Because he's English, you know? But we focus too much on one target, and therefore the club we're going to buy from is, you know, they're not worried about, oh, well, they might not actually buy from us. Like yourselves, you went to sign Werner, right? But it wasn't just Werner. Like, yous were in the market for other players. So,
well, we'll get on to Chelsea later. I know Chelsea are...
Yeah, no, but I'm just using yous as an example.
I know Chelsea are kind of the talk of the town now at the moment because of the transfer window.
Focus on one player, where United seem to just focus in on one player, and that gives the opposing club this kind of power over us, which shouldn't be the case. We should be just going, no, fine, we're looking at two or three options, and if you're not willing to sell for a price we're willing to pay, we'll go elsewhere. And we just don't do that.
Well, so that's kinda... my feeling with Woodward is that he doesn't seem to be a great negotiator when it comes to transfers, if you get me.
Because he only goes for what he's told, this is the player we want. So he just goes for that. But he doesn't think to himself, this is giving the opposing person...
But then we're getting into a very weird situation with United. If he's told to go for this guy, then who is really in charge of transfers then? Because, I mean, you know, and I've seen this, like, because it's Woodward out. And then, I mean, let's be fair. The Bruno Fernandes signing, I'm sure you'll both agree with me. I know you do, Darren.
Fantastic signing in the end.
Yeah, but that signing was literally to appease the fans because the fans were outside of his house.
Yeah, and it was too little. If he'd just done that at the start.
Yeah, you know, he could have done that at the very start of the season, and United could have had a very different season. Or, you know, in many ways, I mean, Bruno Fernandes came in, and obviously, you know, being in Portugal where it's not exactly an extreme league. He would have had a lot more energy to kind of give to United, and which he did.
Yeah.
And props to him. Absolutely grateful.
Well, like it could have gone better or worse if we'd got him at the start. But the fact is that we're only trying to sign him. So because Woodward's told this is the player we're looking, that we want to sign, he just goes for that, where he needs to kind of, you can't put all your eggs in one basket because you put them all in one.
Who decides what players are signed for Man United then?
I think it's the manager kind of just goes to him and says, this is what we want. Yeah.
It has to be the manager. I have a few theories on
it. He's the director of football, right? There's no way.
No, he's not. He's not.
No, we don't have a director of football.
United don't have a director of football. Yeah.
That's the problem. We don't have one.
No. But I think one, that... Maybe.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. I think that... I'm not Woodward's biggest fan. I wouldn't even say I'm a fan of Woodward at all. But I think he gets a lot of the blame where he doesn't necessarily deserve it. In like for a lot of it, he does. and I'll be right there with people blaming him for certain aspects. But the chief negotiator for transfers for United is a gentleman called Matt Judge. And I've read stories from various newspapers saying that clubs don't like dealing with United too much because they don't like dealing with Matt Judge.
Okay.
He seems to be the problem. He's the one that tries to
haggle.
You know, haggle to the very last point. Okay. Like he'll haggle over a fiver. You know, for these massive deals, he'll haggle over a fiver. And at the end of the day, clubs feel confident because they'll always get what they want. Because like if we just go to say just from the time Solskjaer has been in charge. Obviously, he went for Wan-Bissaka. Palace said they wanted 50 million. United said, no, we'll pay you 30. Palace said 50. United said, no, we'll give you 40. Palace said 50. United ended up giving 50.
Yeah.
The same with Harry Maguire. Leicester wanted 80. United didn't want to pay 80. They paid 80 in the end. For Sporting and Fernandez, they wanted 45. United didn't want to pay 45. United paid 45 in the end. And I think it's going to be the same thing with this Sancho deal.
Yeah.
Dortmund want 120 million. United don't want to pay 120 million. It's going to be a little, this, he said, they said, it's their fault, it's his wage demands, it's the club, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. And at the end of the day, they'll end up paying the money.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens. At certain times, you've just got to stop with all this haggling and just pay the money. And a big problem is with the first two signings is Wan-Bissaka and Maguire is you have this English tax that's obviously unspoken about with Premier League players and English young Premier League players that like if you're paying over the odds
for, and it doesn't just go for United, by the way, lads.
That's every club general, Chilwell for 50 million is a perfect example, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But United paid 45 and I think 35 million for Van der Beek and Fernandes, which is less than what they were being quoted for James Maddison.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's taken Solskjaer a season, but he's finally looking outside of England and he's actually finding deals.
As well, just as an outsider, in fairness, Darren, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of, I guess, hope as well during all this kind of dreary talk. Donny Van Beek, I've watched quite a lot. I did watch quite a lot of Ireland last year.
Yeah.
And I happen to have a cousin who lives in Amsterdam for the last 3 years and he's a season ticket holder in Ajax. And when he heard that Chelsea signed Hakim Ziyech, he was like, dude, you've just got yourselves like such a bargain.
Mm. I said that from last season when nobody signed him. I was like, how did they sign De Jong and De Ligt? And nobody picked up Ziyech. I was like, we should have been going for him.
It's the same with Donny Van Beek as well. I think if you are in the market for like a Grealish or a Madison, without a shadow of a doubt, I would be taking Van Beek every day of the week. Every day.
Well, even look at that 70 million that Villa wanted for Grealish, and United went and signed Fernandes and Van der Beek for like 75 million. It's crazy. Or 80
just
million.
Just because he's English.
It's just because he's English, exactly. There's so many good players out there that, like, this is the thing that United have lacked as well, is they haven't actually set up a good scouting system for years. And it looks like they're finally starting to do that now, which means that they can sign these players from outside of England and sort of save a bit of money and still have...
Which is what brought us to the dance in the first place under Fergie. Like, how many marquee signings did we make under Ferguson? And by marquee, I mean an established, like, well-established, top-tier player. Van Persie. I suppose maybe you could argue Rio was kind of starting to establish himself, especially after that World Cup.
Yeah, I suppose.
Rio was a marquee signing. He
was from Leeds as well.
British transfer record at the time. So.
Quality with Leeds as well. So.
But, I mean, Vidic wasn't a big name. Evra, not a big name. Rooney was starting to become a big name.
Well, Rooney was a marquee signing because he hit
Cantona. Well, he wasn't marquee, but like you knew he was going to get there.
You're missing out on one of them, and like they signed him from the Dutch league. Is Ruud van Nistelrooy?
Without a shadow of a doubt, it was 50 million.
He, Yeah, but what I mean by a marquee, like, he wasn't established. Like, when I'm talking about a marquee sign, I mean, like, an established, like, this person.
No, but that's a marquee. When you pay 50 million, that's a marquee sign, especially back then. That was a marquee sign. He had an amazing World Cup that year.
But marquee signings don't always work. Like, the one that Fergie signed, and I think it was probably one of the biggest duds of his whole time at United, was Juan Ferran.
Yeah, just never worked out for us. And
then he went to Chelsea, and
Diego Forlan.
Diego Forlan as well. Well, Diego Forlan was coming, I think, from Uruguay anyway, so I think he was still sort of... He's more established than him after he left United.
They actually signed Diego Forlan from River Plate in Argentina, and he came off the back of it. I want to say, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say it was like a 26-goal season.
He had a big season.
It was a pretty big number season. Anyway.
But then he just never hit the ground with us, really. Yeah. No, but that's my point. Like, United's...
But Fergie United used him. Fergie did use Forlan.
He used him, correct,
He used him as
impact.
A superstar type player, which was wrong because Forlan was a striker that should be starting. Because once he went to Atletico Madrid, then he showed exactly what he could do. Yeah. Villarreal, I believe, was the first.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we never really signed these established superstar players under Fergie. Like the odd one maybe, but like even Rooney wasn't an established superstar when we signed him either. Like, yes, he cost 50 million, but he wasn't, you know. And then since Fergie's left, we've been signing these players that, you know, are established, and they haven't worked out. And I think Solskjaer has, like, he's worked it out.
I'll say one thing, and you guys can disagree or agree. Back in the 90s, United obviously were the team. They had the most money, and they could put money wherever the hell they wanted, and they generally put money into their youth system. Hence why you had the Beckhams, the Nevilles, the Butts, Nicky Butts, a shy player, lads. I don't know why he was ever
rated. Class of 92.
But you had those players, and there was a system in place that made these players,
great.
Great, exactly. But the thing about it is, to a lot of United fans, and I'm sure you will agree, it's like living in the golden years. Other teams have caught on. You have the Abramovich's now. You have obviously the Sheikhs that own City as well. I mean, if you look at it, like Chelsea youth team have won the youth Champions League 6 times in the last 10 years. The United youth setup isn't a thing anymore. It's not like that, and that's why these players aren't coming through. Now you've got Mason Greenwood now, and that's definitely a catch. I would agree.
And Brandon Williams is also one as well.
Yeah, he's okay. But I mean, he's not Ashley Cole. Do you know what I mean? This is what I'm saying. He's not Ashley Cole, or he's not Gary Neville. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, it's not a full season yet either, though. That's kind of the thing.
Yeah, but I mean, he runs around like a headless chicken, and he just wants to fight lads. You know, put him on the ice with the pads on and throw the gloves off and then see how tough he really is. You know, that's the problem.
Well, you're forgetting, like, probably the standout youth player that United have had this year, and that's Mason Greenwood.
That's what I said. I said that.
Yeah, no, we said Greenwood.
Sorry,
first.
Sorry.
My connection went there for that. I actually mentioned Mason Greenwood there, Darren.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, he's been.
That's an outsider.
He's been absolutely phenomenal. But
yeah,
again, I don't want us to make the mistake that we kind of made.
I mean, United fans still think that what's his name is still a youth player. It's a running joke now.
Well, I don't think anyone thinks he's a youth player, but
Jesse Lingard.
And it's the same.
Him and Theo Walcott, great prospects for England.
Yeah. It's the same with Marcus Rashford, right? Marcus Rashford, nice guy during COVID-19. Great. It seems like a really nice guy. Great. Doesn't score 20 to 30 goals a season. What is his position? He's now 22, 23. What is his position? You know, and this is exactly what, Mourinho didn't know his position. Obviously, Van Gaal didn't know his position. And now Solskjaer doesn't know his position. So What is Marcus Rashford like? Is he just a player that comes in and kind of he's really marketable and he can score the odd goal or two, but he's not like, what is it? And I think that's what United need to do, because that would never have happened under Ferguson. Ferguson would have said, like, this is your position, this is what you do. Okay? Everyone had their role under Ferguson, right?
I think Rashford's going to settle as a left winger. Yeah. I think that with him, his performances has been sort of patchy. It wasn't great after the restart, but we do have to remember as well. Also, he broke his back, so he's not going to exactly be coming back all guns blazing, you know. So.
But there's always an excuse for Marcus Rashford, though. There's always an excuse.
Well, he's still a young player as well. He's not going to be hit. He's nowhere near his prime yet, either.
So what happens in 2 years' time when he's Lingard's age?
Well, like when he's 25, and if he's still patchy, then he can have the conversation where, okay, I think he's hit his ceiling, but he's still a young player, and I don't think you can make the judgment on whether or not he's a good player or whether.
Well, I tell you why I can make the judgment, because when he's been classed as one of the top players in the Premier League, yes, I can make the judgment, because he's quite clearly not.
Yeah, but that's only because he's English.
Yeah, that's the English media hype.
So yeah, you get me. I'm not arguing with you guys on that. Yeah. Like, quite clearly, he's a good player. I mean, me as a football fan on the outside, I look at Marcus Rashford and go, "Yeah, he's a quality player." You know what I mean? But you understand what I mean, like, and this is not like.
I don't think he's ever going to be the best. Yeah, player.
It's the same. I think he's a nice
left winger to have.
Sorry, go ahead, Ted.
I think as Darrow was saying, he's a nice left winger to have, but he's not an out and out striker. He's just not clinical enough. Now our out and out striker in the coming years for me, Mason Greenwood, put him up there, but I don't want us to make. And some people will say
he's old enough, isn't that right? That's what Ferguson used to say as well.
It was, but yeah, also you don't want to put, like, when Ferguson did that, he also had other players there that could kind of pick up if someone had an off day. You don't want someone like Greenwood being the complete focal point at the moment, because if he has an off day, you need someone there that's able to take that weight off his shoulders a little bit.
Well, that's why Martial is so important, and that's why I think signing of Sancho is going to be so important as well, because you sign Sancho, you take Greenwood off the right wing. So,
you haven't signed Sancho yet, though.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be important to sign him.
I think Greenwood's a nice little right winger to move into the main striker, but not this year. He's not the main striker this year. That is Martial's for this year. Because you don't want to do what we did with Rooney and have him start there. And I know not everyone will do it, but like Michael Owen, Wayne Rooney, they all started and they had the weight of the world on their shoulders at a young age.
He was ran into the ground. Game and ruined his hamstrings.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with Greenwood.
You're probably only going to get another year of someone like a Martial. So you need to make it.
Why only another year of Martial?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Martial fancies himself as a starting striker. And he's still young enough to be a starting striker. He's 24, 25 years old.
And 22. I think he will be
opinion, he is a starting striker. Yeah. I've always looked at Martial and believed that he has that Thierry Henry bavavoom about him, especially in one-on-one situations. I think he can finish more times. Like, give him three chances, he'll definitely finish two, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a natural finisher. I think he was ruined by United in a lot of ways by being put on the wings early on. But his natural talents, I believe, are straight up the center. Up the centre. And I think if I were being the GM of Manchester United, I would be saying, right, our main striker starting the season is going to be Martial. And obviously you want to have the pieces in place to surround Martial with goal-scoring opportunities, i.e. a Jadon Sancho, i.e. a, you know, Marcus Rashford delivering balls in too, or even Marcus Rashford cutting in, shooting on the right, and there's Martial to hit the rebounds. Because don't forget, that's why Dwight York and Andy Cole were the most formidable strikers back in the day, because they were strikers of tap-in origin, which seems to be lost in the modern era.
And I like that you said that, Ian, about just having that instinct to sort of go in for a rebound, because I think that's one thing that I think was rightly criticised about him before this season, was he didn't have that main striker mentality, which is probably why he was put out on the wings. But I think the fact that Solskjaer has obviously become manager, and I think Solskjaer sort of taken him under his wing and sort of given him that striker's instinct to be always on the...
Exactly.
To be that sort of clinical guy, to make sure he's in the box for those sort of opportunities in case the ball does... come to him there and he can finish it off. So I think that's definitely a highlight of his performance, especially this past season.
Yeah, I think before this season, there was a kind of, there was a laziness to him. And I'm not saying, you know, that he was lazy, but he appeared very lazy, that
like
the ball hits the post.
Maybe overconfidence possibly. Like.
Yeah, like the ball hits the post or the keeper saves it and he's kind of, he's like wading through mud to get to it when he should be snapping at that. Like that should be, you should be snapping at the heels to take that.
Like a Berbatov.
That's what separates the top strikers in the world from these like not so good, like
Berbatov,
these
is a
good
lazy
strikers.
Actually,
Berbatov was lazy, but he was only like, but when there was a chance to score a goal, he could have been the fastest player in the world because he was snapping at the heels to get it.
Berbatov and doesn't have enough love in the world of football for what he did. What a striker! I'll say that as well. Like, because we look at we'll look at, obviously, you know, I've been very friendly to you guys with the Man United thing as well, and obviously looking at Chelsea, you have brought it up a couple of times, and you look at Chelsea and the players that Chelsea have signed. I mean, you mentioned Timo Werner there, Ted. Almost 35 goals every season.
Big signing, yeah.
And I actually look at some of Timo Werner's goals, and the reason I'm actually bringing this up now is because every time there's a chance for even a sniff of a goal, his speed, he's just constantly in there.
Yeah, he's a poacher.
If he kicks the ref, if he kicks the goalie, you know, sorry, but I was trying to get a goal.
He's a poacher out and out, like.
That's really what you want, you know. And it's like I mentioned, like Tammy Abraham as well. We mentioned at the start of the year, Tammy Abraham was a great player, and he obviously was in the end. Still only 22, around the same age, I think, actually pretty much the exact same age as Marcus Rashford, but kind of tailed off towards the end of the season. And that's the thing, we kind of big up the English players because they're academy players. But sometimes you need to just go out and say, right, I'm going to spend that 50 million on that Timo Werner guy because, A, he's a bullet. You know, he's like a stick of dynamite every time he runs. He can score every kind of goal. And then, I mean, Chelsea are literally about to break the record, I believe, today or tomorrow on Kai Havertz. Well, the deal's done. For 85 million, you know, pound. And then obviously Thiago Silva in on the free transfer, which I think is a genius piece of business, to be honest with you. Just at least for leadership alone.
He works for you guys, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a genius piece of business.
It could have been a genius piece
of business for Man United too.
I don't know. I was discussing this with Greg.
Is that because your backline is so good already? Because tell me now if that's the case.
It's because he's gotten on in the years, right? So
he's still better than Harry Maguire.
He is, but he's not going to replace
Harry Maguire. Went for 80 million.
Yeah, but he's not going to replace Maguire. So it's going to be him and Maguire. And when Maguire goes and puts himself out of position, like he always does, now you're asking Thiago Silva to cover both those positions, and he doesn't have a speedy centre back beside
him.
I don't think he would have been good for us because of that.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I agree.
He's good if you have a nice little speedy centre back beside him because he can position well, and a speedy centre back can cover the ground if he needs it. Maguire can't do that.
Positioning's
brutal.
Top point. I have to actually commend you on that, Ted.
But I still think your two signings, the best two signings you've made, Werner and Ziyech. Because I'm telling you now, Werner with Ziyech crossing the ball in and Giroud beside him to lay it off to him, that's a formidable like Chelsea are going to do well with that, I think. Very formidable front line.
Yeah, we'll get on to season predictions at the end, obviously, and see how people do well. But I do see what you're saying, because obviously Chelsea still have Tammy Abraham and Olivier Giroud, which was amazing because Giroud wanted to go, but then Giroud obviously fell in love with the philosophy, which for me was kind of cool because I'm a big Olivier Giroud fan. I think most people are a big Olivier Giroud fan, right?
I think he's very good at what he does. Like, he's not a out-and-out striker.
Yeah.
He's a support player. And I think having him as the support player to Werner is going to be huge.
Yeah. And I think, I know, Dara, you were saying, like, you have a bit of a man love for Giroud as well.
How can you not?
Yeah.
How can you not? The man is, he's a beautiful man. And he plays football the right way as well. And he's a bit of how can you say it? Not gobshite. He's a bit of a shit, you know?
You are?
He's a bit of a shit, you know?
Yeah.
But like he's the type of shit that you'd love on your team, because you know he's just gonna graft and piss everyone off on the opposition.
Oh, he's a real shithouser, him, and like, yeah, it's why I love Ramos. Like, people give Ramos shit, but like, that lad's the ultimate shithouser. Like, how could you, like, you can hate him when you're against them, but if you had that lad on your team, you're just like, oh
yeah. I suppose you're right, like, because if you're a 6'4" centre back, like say a Harry Maguire or a Virgil van Dijk, and then you've got a Giroud who's also 6'4" and actually bigger than you.
And he keeps backing into you, like, and getting himself free kicks.
You can threaten him all you want, but you know, A, he's better looking than you. B, he's got a better beard than you. And C, he's definitely got better hair than you.
And he's smart. He's very smart. Like, he wins himself so many free kicks that other strikers just don't get. And that comes with experience as well, I suppose.
That's a great point. And I was going to make that a point for United, actually, because you guys mentioned, not just to make it about my team, obviously, I'm being fair here. You guys mentioned with, you know, back in the day, you had, obviously, I brought up this, the York and Cole connection.
Mm.
But then you also had Teddy Sheringham and Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer on the bench.
Mm.
They're always there. And some weeks, obviously, they'd rotate or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, when the big games mattered, it was always York and Cole. And I think that's where United are probably in a situation. And I guess this is what Solskjaer is looking at too. You've got Greenwood, who's obviously, literally, he's green in name and green in experience, you know. So, you know, no pun intended on that one. It's just that he is a young player, and he's obviously, he can't expect to have the whole weight of an 80,000 stadium in Old Trafford on his shoulders. But also, why aren't United looking at these kind of experienced strikers that are around? You know what I mean? Why didn't United call Zlatan again for another year?
Because they got Igalo instead.
Oh, yeah.
Big Igalo.
They brought China virus to England.
I think we need to sign it.
Dara's 100% right there. I mean, again, so you're saying if that's your manager's prediction, if that's Solskjaer, you're saying the manager calls the side. So if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's asked for Igalo, then he should be.
Well, I don't know that he asked. We got Igalo when Rashford and Martial had both gone out injured. So that was a bit of a desperation signing. Like, we just needed a striker, and that was just who we could get.
Could have got Carlton Cole, and he would have done the same job, man.
But to be fair, the reason why they got Igalo is because Solskjaer and Igalo share the same agent. So,
yeah.
So again, So there you go. It's not for the better of the club, then, and that's the real problem. I think the difference with Chelsea and United at the moment is, and obviously we've spoken off air about this.
One wears blue, the other wears red.
Mm.
Well, obviously, that's a
pretty easy to tell, yeah.
but there is, you've got like two former players now as managers. You've got one that has had you know, moderate success. I mean, going into his third year, one who kind of failed in his first few, done shit with Molde, and then went to, who was it, Oldham?
He did well with Molde. He did shit with Cardiff.
Sorry, it was Cardiff, yeah.
Don't but I don't know if you can be blamed for doing shit with Cardiff with the state that
they were. Why can't he be blamed, though? That's what I'm saying.
The management was... No, well, like, upper management was such... Like, that was a disaster.
That seems to be a Man United thing, though. It's always someone else's fault. And I think that's what really needs to be addressed here on this podcast. It's always someone else's fault.
No, but I mean, like, you look at Newcastle, right? And
accountability doesn't seem to be a thing.
No, but even if you look at Newcastle when they brought in Brendan Rodgers, like, that's a very good manager. And he struggled with them. Why? Because upper management were just, like, non-existent. They were just
Hold on, Ted. I think you're a little lost there.
Yeah.
Newcastle never appointed Brendan Rodgers.
Exactly. Leicester.
Oh, sorry, who was with Newcastle?
Steve Bruce.
No, before Bruce.
Rafa.
Rafa, sorry. They brought Rafa in Rafa.
Benitez is a chancer anyway.
He's a good manager. Like, you can't...
He's a chancer, man.
He's a fat Spanish waiter.
He is.
Nah, exactly. he's a good manager and Newcastle...
No, he's not a good manager. He was a good manager in 2005. And looked his way to the Champions League final. That was it.
Nah, he's a decent manager. He's better than what
Trust me, I had a half a season with Chelsea and he played defensive football. He's shite.
Didn't he win his Europa League?
Yeah, and we still laughed at him and called him a fat Spanish waiter after he won it. I think the problem with United fans is sometimes they don't want to take accountability. And I don't mean United fans. They don't, though. They argue amongst themselves and go, and that's all football fans, by the way. I'm not saying that my core fans are perfect. They're not. Some of my fans are fucking retards. I'm sorry, but they are absolute idiots. But it seems to be a thing with United fans that it's like, because of the success in previous years, that it's like, we're destined for this again. Not with the current regime, I don't believe.
No, but I think we're finally back on the right track.
What track?
To getting successful.
So you tell me what the track is now under Solskjaer. And both of you, actually.
Well, we're starting to sign... as I said, we're not making these big marquee name signings anymore, which was not working out for us. And Solskjaer has gotten away from that. He's now looking at players who want to play for the club. They're not coming for a big payday. They're coming because they want to play for the club. They're young. They're the future of the club. They're not just big name signing for a year,
but
2 years.
We only made one
payday.
Big marquee signing anyway, which was Pogba, and he's still there.
No, well, we like Falcao.
That's
Falcao,
not exactly true. No,
Falcao, Zlatan.
So name them all then. Zlatan Falcao. Was a free transfer, man. Come on.
Yeah, but it's
that's
still
not a big. Come on, that's not a big. Come on. No, right. So Dara said that's not exactly true. So I'd like to have the
Falcao.
I'd like to have the list of. Sorry, Falcao again was like 30 million.
Sanchez.
Oh, Falcao wasn't even 30 million. He was also given as a free option to buy. And then he was offered to Chelsea for the next year for the same deal. So again, I'm actually going to write down now.
But you're talking about money. Like, I'm not saying the money.
No,
but why do you keep bringing up money?
You said marquee signings, so I want to know.
No, like marquee names. Like
marquee signing could be a name. It doesn't have to be a figure.
Yeah, it's not the amount you spent. Like, Harry Maguire's not a marquee signing. Like, he costs a lot.
No, say
like,
marquee names then instead of signings. Fair enough. That's all right. I like that.
Like, Harry Maguire's not a marquee signing. Like, he costs a lot.
Nothing signing for 80 million.
But he costs 80 million. And based on your logic, that would make him a marquee signing. But he's not. Like, he's just... That's just
well,
what
a marquee... No. I mean, that's not just my logic. That's general logic of football culture. A marquee signing is someone that you pay, a really high amount for. I'm sure you would agree that with that, like.
But I don't think it has to be. It's just when you're bringing in marquee names.
If you sign someone for 80 million tomorrow, that just goes under the weather. It's grand. It's not a marquee signing. It's just 80 million.
Well, 80 million's not that much in football anymore. 80 million's not that much in football anymore. Like,
fucking marquee signing, man. Don't be silly now. Argue a silly point now to defend.
No, I look at a marquee signing as who you sign. Like, Pogba was a marquee signing. big name.
Which was only 10 million more than Harry Maguire. But Harry's
but it's
not
the player. No, but it's the player that's the marquee, not the price tag.
Oh, God. Okay, well, look, explain that to Sky Sports and tell them to stop mentioning marquee signing then, please. And let's get back onto the debate.
But, like, this is, we were out signing players that, you know, were big names rather than players that were actually going to advance us. Like, Falcao, we signed him, didn't do anything for us. Yeah, but he didn't do anything for us. So what's the matter about what we signed him for? That's the players we were looking at. We were looking at players like that, hoping that these big names would bring us back to the top. And it didn't work. And now we're not doing that. Now we're looking at youth. We're looking at players that can get us there in the future and stick with us and keep us going in the future. Not
and
just
you've won obviously a couple of Premier League titles in that space of time.
No, I said we're on the right track. Like, we're getting back onto the right track, and this is what we need to be doing because this is what brought us success in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. So mind if I jump in there on this, and I just think what we're trying to get at here, and I think we're getting a little lost in translation here, is the getting back on track is United sort of, we go back to Woodward again, but Woodward sort of looked at United and wanted to turn them into a Real Madrid sort of, with their Galactico signings, you know, with their big name signings, some for a lot of money, some for not a lot. So you saw the likes of like the Schweinsteigers, the Di Marias, the Falcaos, the Sanchezes, these big name signings coming in for either a large transfer fee or large wages that never worked out. And they seemed to be just like he was playing a game of FIFA and he was just buying whatever players with the highest overall he could find. I think in terms of what has changed is, like Ted was saying, they're buying younger players in terms of, well, maybe not even younger, because I don't think Harry Maguire is even that young, to be honest. I think he's about 25, 26 or something like that. But
26.
They're signed, something like that. But
he's
younger than me.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know.
He's really shite,
though. No, but I mean, your peak football years are usually, what, 20, 28, like so. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. So he's.
Don't worry. I'm lending into your argument there. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, like they're signing, like they're trying to sign these players that the team actually needs rather than what Woodward wants. And I think that's the sort of the change that we've seen with United now. I don't personally believe that Solskjaer is going to be the man to complete that change.
Can I ask?
I think he'll set it up well for the next manager, who will then. Be able to start challenging for titles, because the one thing that Solskjaer has done that no one's mentioned it yet has that he has gotten a lot of the dead wood out of the club.
Yeah,
like who? No, I'm not saying like who. I'm not saying that to be an asshole clown. Like,
well, he's gotten Fellaini. He's gotten Smalling.
Smalling's back at the moment, but
lads, I think he's on his way. That would be an upgrade. Watching him last year with Roma on the shite that you had last year.
Yeah, I still don't want it. I'd still rather get a new centre back, but
you'd rather have big box heads.
No, I never thought we should sign him. I always thought that we were making a mistake signing him, especially for what we signed
Smalling
him.
Smalling was about maybe 2 or 3 years younger. You'd say, yeah, we'll give him another chance. But the fact that he's 30 now as well, I think it's...
Yeah, but like...
Alex Ferguson said that Phil Jones was the next Paolo Maldini.
Yeah. Well,
that
even the greats can be
still
wrong.
Still doing the rounds on YouTube.
I'm sure he does think like that every night in his dreams anyway.
Yeah.
You what, Ferguson?
No, Jones.
I'm the next Paolo Maldini, me.
Yeah, I'm sure Paolo Maldini says, Ferguson, you're a piece of shit, man.
Like, Sanchez is gone as well. That's a huge wage bill.
That was very smart, actually. I was going to mention that, actually, and I wanted to kind of mention that. I think the moving on Lukaku, which I don't think Lukaku necessarily needed to be moved on. I think that one
he did.
Was, yeah, but I think that Flitch...
want to be there.
Yeah,
they didn't have a choice in the end, because Solskjaer told them, look, listen, you're not going to be first choice, and Lukaku didn't want to be second choice. So I think they had to move him on.
Yeah, and then one of the big... you on as a 30 goal striker a year, we need to move you on for obviously Marcus Rashford and
I just don't think Lukaku's
like
game was going to fit into the style.
At least he lost the weight as well when he went over there.
He did. Yeah. He did, actually.
Which, and, you know, again, that's another negative towards him. Like, he put on that weight when he was at United. Whose fault is that? That's his fault. Like, you know, he should.
But I think it's everyone's fault as well. I think there was no structure at United at that particular time where, like, I mean, that's up to a manager to say, dude, you're literally too big. Like, you're too, well, what are you doing?
Yeah, but it when he did start putting on that weight, then
job, right? Surely.
Yeah, but he put on that weight and then he lost his position. Like, he got dropped to the bench because he wasn't performing anymore because he was too big.
Yeah, 100%.
And he didn't like that. He was like, why am I being dropped? Why am I number one striker anymore? And I was like, well, look at you, you big fat prick.
Let's get back to United's recruitment position at the moment. Because,
but like we did.
But the sounds of it at the moment, the way you're talking about it, it sounds like United are literally on the verge of the Premier League title with their amazing recruitment
strategy
that nobody else has figured it out.
We got rid of Ashley Young and then we got rid of but I'm saying, like, we got rid of Ashley Young and then we brought in an actual right back.
Okay, you know? but like this season though, what's gonna make United title contenders this year now?
We won't be title contenders. We haven't done enough. We haven't done enough in the transfer market. Be.
No way.
This is an amazing turnaround.
Because five minutes
ago I was hearing about this amazing United recruitment strategy.
No, 5 minutes ago you were hearing that we were on the right track.
You're on the right track. Okay.
No, we're on the right track because of the signings we've made over the entire, like, last season and this.
Where do you guys fit in with Paul Pogba? Because I know, like, United fans like him one week and then they hate him on the next week. So all of a sudden now I've noticed on Twitter he's the future and he's going to be the savior of United now.
He's not the savior, but we definitely shouldn't be selling them.
Okay. All right, yeah. Okay. So
I wouldn't sell them because you won't get recoup the money that you get paid from.
That's the only reason.
No, even if you sell them now, you can't
replace
them.
It's good to hear an honest Man United fan there.
You sell them, you can't replace him.
Because he's done nothing for the badge of Manchester United to justify either A, his transfer value, or B, to justify any Man United fan actually getting behind him yet.
Well, while he's a United player, you're still going to get behind him.
Absolutely, I do. You know? But to go on about him like he's still the best midfielder on the planet is absolutely ridiculous.
No, he's not even the best midfielder at Man United.
No, I don't believe so. Donny Van Beek is, yeah. 100%.
No,
Bruno Fernandes.
Fernandes walked in and he showed what Pogba should have been. Like, Pogba came in and he was meant to be this leader, this person who was going to drag us to improving in play. And he didn't. And then Bruno Fernandes came in and you saw this massive upswing. And this is kind of like, people talk about Pogba at the World Cup. Pogba at the World Cup was surrounded by greatness. Pogba was surrounded, and before he signed for us at Juventus, who did he have beside him? Pirlo, pulling the strings. He was surrounded by...
Don't worry. The English
a luxury
media are rooting for
player.
The English media are rooting for you to sign N'Golo Kante, even though you won't.
So, no, I don't think we will either. But
no.
Pogba is a luxury player that does very well in a team that's already very strong, but he doesn't make a team stronger. If, like, we are saying Messi makes Barcelona stronger.
So let me ask the question, right? Because I'm very familiar with Donny Van Beek and his ability as a midfielder and like his position, okay? And obviously, I'm familiar now with Bruno Fernandes. With Bruno Fernandes and Donny Van Beek and Paul Pogba, how does that midfield work?
Football is a squad game, not just a first 11.
I think
that's what it is.
So players are going to be happy to sit on the bench.
Well, they're not. Look, Van der Beek is still young. He knows himself that he's not going to be the first starter every week.
Are you kidding me, man? Juventus wanted him as well.
Yeah, well, look, and he chose to go to United, and he was probably told the same thing. That I'm saying now, probably by Solskjaer. Like, look, listen, you're not going to play every game at the start, but you have the potential to do you have the potential to do that. And I think, look, you leave with, you have Van der Beek, you know, season. I'm not saying he's going to be sitting on the bench every game. I'm just saying that, look, the problem that United had last season especially is they had their first 11 and they didn't have anyone else.
Well, guys,
United couldn't rotate.
Yeah.
Trust me when I say it. Donny Van Beek, by 6 games in, is going to be one of your main starters next season.
And if he is, that's great. That means then probably then Paul Pogba is going to miss out. And if he does, then at least then that's something to come off the bench to help United if they're behind and they need something.
Well, you know,
they didn't have that this year. Like, you had no one on the bench this past season to do that. That's why United struggled towards the end, because the team were tired.
Yeah.
Are very tired, yeah.
I think Fernandez burned out coming at the end of that season. And you could see the effect that him not having enough energy because of how close knit the game, like how close the times of the games were. And I know every team had that, but other teams had a better squad depth than we did. And that kind of hurt. That hurt us because we couldn't bring someone on for Fernandes. Like, we have Mata, but Mata's aging, you know. Like, and like, I love Mata. I think he's great. Was a great player, but, and he still is. But he doesn't have the legs in him anymore to play 90 minutes, 2 or 3 games a week, you know.
Well, look, I suppose in closing on this this particular episode of, I guess it's been a Man United thing, which is pretty cool. Let's give our little predictions, because obviously tomorrow is a new day, but let's give our little predictions for the end of the Premier League. Let's give our top 4 predictions just off the bat.
City, Chelsea, Liverpool, United.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have City first anyway, all right. I'm not... Depending on how things work out for Chelsea, because they've made a lot of signings, which can be good, and then sometimes it just doesn't gel. So it depends how that works out for them.
Well, just but predictions, it'll be, that's all it is. It's not.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, will it be themselves or Liverpool that take second, but it'll be one of the two of them, I think. And then United should take fourth, because I don't think anyone else has really made, except Everton, who seem to be making a lot of signings, but that'll just move them from being 11th to maybe... Fifth or sixth.
Yeah, I was going to say sixth as well. Me and Dara said the same thing, sixth. I'm not going to give a prediction. I don't believe Chelsea are going to win the league this year either. I do believe it'll be Man City, if I'm being, you know, being a smart football fan. If Chelsea do win the league this year, obviously.
Well, obviously, I'll hope our team wins, but.
yeah. But I do believe that we will definitely be challenging City all the way. And Liverpool. I think Liverpool are going to be the team that drops this year. And they've obviously lost Wijnaldum as well. And they're not really willing to replace him. They're not even willing to spend 30 million on Thiago from Bayern Munich, which is absolutely crazy to me. I mean, there's United. There's a player United could easily step in for, or, you know, even Arsenal. Like, right, Bayern have basically said, we want 30
million. Oh, well, Arsenal will get them off use now in 2 or 3 years, like...
Who?
They're just Thiago. Like, they'll get him in 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Arsenal like signing Chelsea players when they're finished.
Yeah, like, they've taken Willian off your hands now. They'll probably take Giroud back when you're finished with him as well.
Well, that's it. But look, at the end of the day, I think we made this. I definitely have shown an example of how to make a non-biased podcast on this show. I stayed away from Chelsea.
There you go, man. Take your right hand, put it over your left shoulder. Get yourself a pat on the back there.
Is that what you want?
That's not your back.
No, but that's what you want, isn't it?
That's not your back.
We the people.
No, all joking aside, guys, it was actually a really kind of cool conversation. I actually like having conversations about that, because it's kind of exciting to talk about it, because United are such a big deal, obviously, in the Premier League. And it's really interesting to hear two United fans kind of giving their kind of... I guess you both weren't in agreement on everything, but at the same time, you're obviously happy with the vision of the club. And you know, at the end of the day, if you're happy with that, then that's why you keep paying money for the jerseys, and that's the right way.
By the way, Ted, in response to your question there, the three to get relegated would be Villa, Leeds, and Fulham.
Do you think Leeds? See, I'm only.
I don't think Leeds are getting relegated, my brother.
I think Leeds might survive.
I think like,
by the skin of their teeth. By the skin of their teeth, I think they'll survive.
I think Bielsa is too married to his system, and I don't think he has the players to keep that system going in the Premier League. And I think he's sort of like I think similar to the way sort of Sarri was, and similar to the way Pep is. Like, he has that one style of play, and he's not going to deviate from it.
Yeah. But
the players that he has works for him in the Championship. He doesn't have the players that can do that in the Premier League, I don't think, for him.
Mm. I do agree with Fulham, though. And
well, they signed Rodrigo. They signed Rodrigo from Valencia there as well. So they definitely look like they're trying to put their money where their mouth is. But I do kind of agree with Dara. Like, it's kind of... The only thing that could stand to them, Dara, is that Leeds have been pretty active in the last kind of few months. There's a lot of Premier League teams that they're going to play at the start of the season that probably haven't been active. And
I wouldn't like to be Liverpool now for this first game of the season.
No.
Well, like, the game is behind closed doors and not with fans in it.
But I mean, like Leeds, like they're not going to be the greatest team in the league. But like, it's their first game back in the Premier League. They are going to be out for blood here.
Should they bring back Mark Viduka and Harry Kewell just for this game as well?
And Robbie Fowler, right?
And Robbie Fowler is a bit as well too, yeah. Get Robbie Keane back too if you want.
Let's get everyone back. Get Rio back as well just for a game. Yeah, and then send them on to United. Rio Ferdinand, actually at 40-odd years of age, would still be a better defender than Harry Maguire. And I think on that note...
Probably.
On that note...
Can we get Ian Hart as back as well too? He had a wand of a left foot. He did.
Ian the Hitman Hart.
Yeah.
Shite a penalty, though.
Shite a penalty is great at free kicks.
Yeah.
Right, guys, so that is going to be all she wrote for this particular episode. Obviously, it was a good conversation. We're going to revisit this conversation once the season starts. And, let's see who starts for United. Obviously, that's a really kind of cool conversation where Donny van Beek starts. Do they play three attacking midfielders without a defensive midfielder? Who knows? Is Matic gone?
A quick question, actually, there for both of you before we go. Well, last question, I promise. Does Solskjaer stay out the season?
Yes. No.
Okay.
No. Same question to you.
I think he does, yeah.
I think this is going to be a bad one for United if they don't sign Sancho.
I'd agree with that.
I think
our bigger problem is the defender.
Sancho deal, personally, I really do.
I'd agree with that. If they sign Sancho, they'll keep him for the year. If they don't, he could be gone by January.
Yeah, I believe so. I think this could be a sixth position for United this year, and they'll blame it on Solskjaer, even though it may not necessarily be his fault.
Well, it all depends on who they get in the Champions League, because if they get knocked out of the Champions League early, then that's going to put them under immense pressure.
Well, that's their money, isn't it? That's exactly what Woodward and all those motherfuckers want, you know?
Mm.
They want that. So, I mean, listen, lads, I have to say, by the way, I am a Solskjaer fan because I'm a fan of football. I remember Solskjaer, you know, even though he was an annoying little prick when he used to play against Chelsea sometimes. And, you know, even against Bayern in that final, nothing but love for the guy. And I mean, you can see it in him. He's such a gentleman. He's a really nice guy. He's not a Mourinho. He doesn't try anything. He's the best. You know what I mean? In the sense of actually articulating his point with people. So I would hate to see it, but I'm with Dara. I honestly think, I personally don't see Solskjaer finishing out the season. I think he'll get sacked, and then they'll make a panic move and they'll get someone. Has anybody signed Pochettino yet? No.
Nope. Still sitting on his arse at home.
That's crazy to me.
I thought he was Barca bound, but
that is crazy to me. Like, I mean, he's tailor made for Man United, right?
Yeah, I think. See, I think Solskjaer will finish out the season, but will he continue on after that will be another question. But I think he'll finish the season out because I think they'll show the loyalty to him just to let him finish out the season.
Well, listen, lads, if Frank Lampard is in 8th position by January, then he's also getting sacked.
Yeah, but he also signed like nearly a full new squad.
Yeah, but did you read this right? So, Timo Werner, Hakim Ziyech, and Kai Havertz cost only $5 million more than the sales of Alvaro Morata and Eden Hazard.
Hmm.
That is there just genius business work by Marina Granovskaya. And obviously, being a very good-looking Canadian-Russian woman, she's able to negotiate better than most lads in the Premier League, it seems.
Werner is a great signing for you, and Ziyech is... I don't know how he lasted another season at...
Well, lads, get ready for Kai Havertz, because he is a generational talent. Trust me. This guy is quality. This is why Barcelona wanted him. Everyone wanted this guy. He is. I didn't expect this to happen, but Kai Havertz is absolutely phenomenal. I'm still in awe at the fact that they were even able to get him, to be honest. So, I think Chelsea have set themselves up. I think obviously Declan Rice looks like he's next, and then a goalkeeper. That's going to be a whole new squad overhaul, basically. It's going to be a crazy, crazy summer business. And obviously it will take a year, but I do think Man City will be looking at Chelsea to be in their next. Because I honestly don't think Liverpool are going to be the team to challenge anyone next year.
No, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I really don't. I think they've happy that they've won it once. Now they'll go back into their box, should I say. I'll get called out on that. Listen, guys, it's been a pleasure. As always, we're going to revisit this, hopefully, you know, maybe a couple of weeks into the season to see how the first few games have gone, and we go from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Been absolutely phenomenal, guys. Thank you.